Florida.
Okay, 3, 2.
Three, two, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now coming up on the show, we talk to Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal. But first, there's an old saying on Wall Street that goes like this. If wishes were knishes, we'd all be fat. While most of us in America are indeed fat, it's not from eating delicious knishes. No, no, no. It could be rather from consuming too much beltway, so-called media that makes us all so stupid while selling us junk food, Viagra, Rachel Maddow's twisted wishes, etc., etc. Isn't this correct, Stacey?
Yes, there's a lot of fake news and people demanding that fake news be stopped, but then they turn out to be the ones that are pushing the fake news. I have a headline here, Max. Trump's opponents cannot stop sharing bad, misleading tweets about the president. So there was a Twitter rumor going around that Donald Trump had been buying up all of these bots who were following him, and we need to get ready to resist because he's obviously getting ready to spread some bad information. And you know what? The rumors even escaped Twitter. Hillary Clinton appeared to refer to them during a Recode public event on Wednesday. Who is behind driving up Trump's Twitter followers by the millions, she asked. We know they're bots. Why? I assume there's a reason for everything, she said. Is it to make him look more popular than he is? Is it to try to influence others on Twitter about what the messaging is? Well, it turns out that's a fake story, Max.
Oh, wow. Well, what happens is the folks that are in the limelight, in the public eye, in the politics, you know, as part of the job, you have to give up your social media, you have to give up a lot, and you end up being in a bubble. And I think Hillary is somebody who would be the least qualified person in America to speak at a Recode panel or conference, which is dominated by tech and high tech executives, because she's living in the, you know, event, you know, like the Stone Age of the 1980s, early 1990s. So the fact that this could be easily refuted to make such a ridiculous claim, it just shows she's completely out of touch. And the rabbit hole that she's digging for herself, it can only get worse and worse because the learning curve is gone. She can't go back and relive the last 15 years on what happened in America. She's still living in America 1996. So she's never going to come back. She's gone. She's gone through the looking glass. Hillary has left planet Earth.
The important thing to note here as well is at this very same event, while she was pushing this fake news, she called on Facebook to block fake news from their website. So, you know, here she is with an authoritarian policy, and yet she herself was spreading something. So what she was suggesting is that the elite, like herself, are the ones that should only be allowed to spread fake news. But speaking of fake news, there's also prior to Donald Trump being elected, we saw the likes of Mark Cuban, a tech billionaire, George Soros, a multi-billionaire hedge fund investor. They were all saying that the markets would crash. So I'm going to introduce a headline that comes from our guest, Gerald Celente's own website, trendsresearch.com. Pundits got the Trump rally wrong. What next? And he notes that on November 8th, Trump won the U.S. presidency. Immediately, the markets tanked by 800 points, gold soared by 50. All the liberal media beltway sources were so excited. They were like, yes, we told you, stupid American voters. We told you that the markets would crash. And instead, within moments, the stock market rallied, and it has been rallying for month after month. No bad news will stop it.
No, I think that especially in sectors like the energy sector, which are very big sectors, if the Trump folks are sincere about rolling back all kinds of environmental protections and regulations, that means these companies will never have to cost into their business model the cost of the ecological damage that they're doing. So that just means more earnings for them. So that sector should do well. Banks, of course, are not regulated in any meaningful way, so that sector should do well. The technology sector has become a runaway oligopoly of 5 or 6 multi-hundred billion-dollar, soon-to-be-trillion-dollar corporations, so nothing's going to stop that freight train. There's nothing on the horizon to stop the rally.
Well, it's time now to turn to Gerald Celente, publisher of the Trends Journal on trendsresearch.com. Gerald, why does the market continue to rally despite all the naysayers from the media and Wall Street?
Well, you just said the why in listening to what you and Max were saying. There's the political world, the media world, and the real world. And what we keep getting is mostly information from the political and media world, which are biased by the proof. And that's just not an empty statement. We all, of course, know that the political world has their own political concerns. But let's look at that Harvard study that just came out that the media was biased against Trump. So now let's go back to the pre-election, leading up to the election. The media was biased to Trump. The facts are there, quantitative analysis. So it put in the people's minds, and even Wall Street, that a Clinton victory would be more prosperous for Wall Street. That was the bias from the media. And so when the markets, you know, saw that Trump was going to win on election day, late election eve, you know, the futures were down over 800 points. You know, gold was up over $50. And then reality started to set in. Again, the trend is your friend. And Max just said a number of the reasons why. See, we're political atheists. It's not who we like, what we want, or what we wish for. We're looking at the facts. Am I happy about, you know, deregulation and giving the banksters more freedom? Of course not. But the markets are happy about that. And that's what the markets, for all the reasons, some of the reasons Max just said, are on the upswing. Because it's positive for the markets. Not positive for we the people, but positive for the markets. But people let their emotions get in the way. So deregulation, again, it's going to help the banksters. It's going to help, as we're seeing already, to some aspects, the energy industry. But, you know, there's another play on this, by the way, because there's an oversupply of product already on the and in the energy field. That's why you see oil prices. I mean, you go back to, let's go back to, you know, 3 years ago, June 2014. And what did we have oil at? $115 a barrel. Now it's around $50 a barrel. So now it's too much supply. Now, with Trump pulling out of the climate agreement and freeing up regulations that would have prohibited fracking and other kinds of extraction of gas and oil, it's even going to be more product on the market. So that's not going to be good for that sector. But looking at all the other sectors, the multinationals, remember also, again, Trump was going to drain the swamp. Yeah, we filled it up with more Goldman Sachs guys. He filled it up with more military-industrial complex guys. These are facts. I'm not making this up. So this is good for the market in different sectors. So that's why we see the Trump rally is real at the level it's at, but it doesn't mean that the economy is going to grow strongly or that it will filter down to most of the people. But again, on a number of levels, again, you look, you know, with his renegotiation of the trade deals. And then you hear one company after another making statements. Even Daimler-Benz came out and said they're going to be buying more product from America. So he's putting more pressure on these companies and multinationals. That does put a thought in people's minds, and thoughts count, because you see small business optimism at like 1980 levels.
Yeah, right. The oil market is going to be hit with increased supply, and normally that would indicate that the sector would enter a downturn. But of course, the markets don't run on oil or gas. They run on the cheap money from the Fed, and oil companies can merge. They can buy back stock. They can do a number of financial engineering tricks and accounting tricks to keep the price of the stock rising, regardless of whether or not the underlying fundamentals make any sense or anyone has decent paying jobs. But I want to return to Hillary for a second and ask you kind of a broader question in terms of trends and trend analysis. Here's a candidate who had a $1 billion war chest, who had the most advanced data and big data collection network in the world, who had quants and mathematicians and data analysts working 24/7 to bring her the absolute most up-to-date information and how to beat her opponent. And yet she spectacularly lost. This is a loss not only for Hillary Clinton, but also it's a loss for so-called big data. Big data is a lot of data, but if you don't know how to read it, it's worthless. Gerald, your thoughts?
Well, you know, matter of fact, we're coming out with the latest Trends Journal. It'll be out in just a few days. And we do an analysis of this. it, you know, you could have all the data you want in the world. If you're an individual that people don't like, it's not going to get you very far. And when you look at the data, I mean, she's playing the gender card and hasn't stopped doing it. As a matter of fact, she made a statement to the effect that the United States is not ready for a woman president. Matter of fact, here it is. She spoke in April at the Women in the World event in New York, admitting that she was devastated after the defeat and was still trying to figure out why having a female president had seemed so threatening to so many people. Well, it wasn't. Hey, could you imagine this country wouldn't have a female president? We just had a black one. I mean, come on. How about people can't stand her? Could she swallow that? How about looking at the facts? They had 2 million less women go out to vote than voted for Obama back in 2012. How about 10 million people didn't go out to vote that voted for Obama when he first ran in 2008? Could she get it in her head that people don't like her?
Well, you know, I mean, to follow up on that point, Gerald, again, she seems remarkably out of touch because I just saw a study. The average female CEO in America makes more now than their male counterpart. So in the gender wars, you know, females are now outgrossing males in the CEO suite. So that's a huge win for women across America. She didn't mention it. She's probably unaware of it. She's, again, she's caught in some other era. She's completely out of the loop, Gerald.
Well, she's a sociopath. And so that's the kind of behavior that you see in those kind of people. So it had nothing to do with the data. It had nothing to do with the alleged Russians hacked into the DNC. And if they did, so what did they show? What a criminal operation is going on. So that should never have happened. And again, not one shred of evidence to support that allegation. Only, you know, we believe and we think. And by the way, you know, it didn't get reported. One of the firms that came out first that said that the Russians hacked into the DNC, the Voice of America, of all places, you know, government-run organization, came out with a report by that very firm saying they retracted their statement. That made the news just one day and only in the Voice of America. So it had nothing to do with her being a woman, data. It has to do that she's a repulsive individual to a lot of people. And that's why she didn't win.
Okay, let's move back to Trump and the Trump rally, because all of us here are old enough to remember that Alan Greenspan on December 5th, 1996, warned market participants of irrational exuberance. Are we at that same sort of point whereby markets can continue to soar for another year, 2 years, 3 years? Are we in for a big crash? What do you see in the last minute and a half here?
We don't see a big crash. We see a 10% correction. Max said it all when he said it's the cheap money that, as we all know, that drove the market up. And so what we see is a correction because you have about 40% of the increases in the Dow, for example, coming from only a handful, about 10 companies. And then when you look at the emerging markets and all of that increase, it's because the dollar is still cheap. The dollar now is back below where it was when Trump got elected after the dollar had the rally. So the point being, if the Fed raises interest rates two or three more times, the value of the dollar is going to go up. The stronger the dollar gets, the weaker the emerging markets, because they have $3 trillion in debt and they have to pay it back in dollars. So that market's going to go down. The United States markets are going to go down too because the cheap money won't be available. We see a correction. We don't see a crash. The only way we see a crash is if there's a wild card, and there's no wilder card than the Trump card. So anything goes. And that's why we still say that gold, and as Max is on, he's the guy that called it first of anybody I know, the cryptocurrencies. He was a Bitcoin cat right in the beginning. Those are safe haven assets in a time of political and geopolitical uncertainty. And we're in that time.
All right, Gerald. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.